Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here. Several years ago, when I was still a pastor in Sterling, Kansas, the Geneva Choir visited our congregation. And on that Sabbath morning, I had the privilege of teaching the college class. As was my custom, I asked the college students if they had any questions they'd like me to discuss. One of the college students said, "I'd like you to discuss the unpardonable sin." I thought for a moment and said, "Are there any other questions?" And then another college student said, "Why won't you talk about the unpardonable sin?" Well, I was locked in at that point. And so that morning in the Sabbath school class, we discussed what I call the unpardonable sin. The first passage of Scripture we took a look at on that occasion, and the first passage of Scripture I look at on this occasion, is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. "Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." The unforgivable sin, as Jesus puts it here in this particular text, is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. This is a very visible sin. It's a single sin. And as we shall see, it is a sin committed in the bosom of the visible church. Let's look at the context here in Matthew chapter 12. The immediate context is Jesus healing a demon-possessed man. Verse 22. "Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw." Jesus cast out the devils and healed this man so that he was no longer blind nor mute. But the Pharisees attacked Jesus. Verse 24, "But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'This man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons.'" In other words, the Pharisees accused Jesus of having a resident power within him, all right, but they saw that that resident power, at least they thought that that resident power was the power of the devil. Jesus responds, verse 26, "If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." The power by which Jesus cast out these devils was the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God. It was not the power of the unholy spirit. And the Pharisees said of that power of the Holy Spirit, it is the power of the devil. It is the power of the unholy spirit. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God. Now you see, this is a very visible sin. It is a single sin. And it was committed by these Pharisees. In the wider context, you and I need to understand that this sin is committed in the belly of, the bosom of, the visible church. The visible church of the day was the nation of Israel. And Jesus was conducting his ministry in the center of the visible church, among the people of the visible church. And so this sin was committed in the bosom of the visible church. And again, I say, it's a single sin. It's a visible sin. It's a sin committed in the bosom of the visible church. And it's a sin in which the perpetrators call the work of the Holy Spirit in the bosom of the visible church. They call the work of the Holy Spirit the work of the devil. And Jesus says, this sin shall not be forgiven. The second text to which I refer is the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And this we will do if God permits. Well, that was verse 3. Verse 4. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. I say this text has to do with the unforgivable sin, the unforgivable sin, because verse 6 says, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. It is impossible for them to come back into the pale of the visible church in a spirit of repentance. The sin is unforgivable. Now, let's get the context once again here. I say to you, the context is the context of the visible church. And to validate that, I go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22. Here the writer to the Hebrews gives us his purpose in the book of Hebrews. He says, but I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. The writer to the Hebrews calls what he says in the book of Hebrews a word of exhortation. Now, this is an idiom, and this idiom, word of exhortation, is a technical term referring to the exhortation given in the synagogue. It's a technical term or an idiom for the synagogue sermon. And the writer to the Hebrews is calling what he says in the book of Hebrews a sermon. And, of course, in the Christian context, and the writer to the Hebrews is writing to Christians, in the Christian context, the sermon is given in public worship. It is part of public worship. And so what we have here is an exhortation that has to do with the visible church of Jesus Christ gathered in sacred assembly for worship. Back to Hebrews 6. Now, what happens in worship? God comes by the power of his Spirit and graciously meets with his people in public worship. And he does so to apply his covenant word to his people, meeting in worship together. Now, in this context, listen to Hebrews 6, verse 4 and following. For in the case of those who have been enlightened, have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. When people gather together in public worship, and God is present, graciously present, by the power of His Spirit, in the bosom of the church, individuals have an opportunity to taste the good things of the Word of God, to taste of the age to come, and to partake of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 again. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's draw a distinction here that's quite important. When individuals come into the worship of God in the church, and they are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and they are convicted of their sins, the writer to the Hebrews says that they partake of the Holy Spirit. And this is true. The Westminster Confession of Faith and the Westminster Larger Catechism speak of the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of sin together with the renewal of the will under the category of effectual calling. But both the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Westminster Larger Catechism draw a distinction between the enlightening work of the Spirit and the convicting work of the Spirit and the renewing of the will. Both the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Westminster Larger Catechism call the work of the Spirit in enlightening the mind and in convicting an individual of sin the common operations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's possible for individuals to receive the common operations of the Holy Spirit, enlightenment and conviction, and not be born again, not receive an altering of their will, which is the new birth. And so the Confession of Faith and the Catechisms draw this connection. We know it's true that individuals may indeed make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and that public profession of faith be only an outward confession of faith, and that individual not indeed be born again. You see, when individuals are interviewed by the elders can't look into the heart. Only God can look into the heart. And so the elders may admit individuals who make a confession of faith into the membership of the church, while those individuals may indeed not be born again. That's a possibility. You see, Jesus talks about this in the parable of the soils. And he talks about the Word of God falling upon rocky places and the individual receiving the Word of God with joy. But the Word of God is only temporary. And the individual falls away after receiving the Word with joy. This is exactly what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about. Listen to the text again. For in the case of those who have been once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Yes, they come into the worship of God and taste the good things of the age to come, and they taste of the Holy Spirit, but it's superficial. It's not down to the level of changing the inclination of the heart and altering the will. And so what happens? verse 6, and then have fallen away. How do they fall away? They fall away by repudiating the work of the Holy Spirit in the bosom of the visible church and calling that work a work of the devil, and they walk away from the church and repudiate their own confession of Jesus Christ and call the work of the Holy Spirit in the belly of the visible church the work of the devil, and they walk away from the church committing that sin. See, this is a very visible sin. It's a single sin. It's a sin committed in visible church, in the bosom of the visible church. Now, it must be said that individuals may walk away from the church and be reunited with the church. That's a possibility. It's a possibility when they have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit and committed this unpardonable sin. I've many times seen people who have walked away from the church, and those individuals have been restored to the church. We praise God when this occurs. The third text is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. You see, all sins, all manner of sins, even blasphemy against the Son of God may be forgiven. All manner of sin may be forgiven, except this one single sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, committed by repudiating the work of the Holy Spirit in the bosom of the church and calling it the work of the devil and walking away from the church of Jesus Christ as this sin is committed. It's a visible sin. It's a single sin. It's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's committed in the bosom of the visible church. And John says, if anyone sees his brother, you see, this is a visible sin, sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. In other words, if you see this visible sin, if an individual commits this single sin and walks away from the visible church, calling the work of the Holy Spirit in the bosom of the visible church the work of the devil, the place where Jesus Christ is working and operative, the work of the devil, and walks away from the church committing this sin, this is the sin unto death, you see. The position I'm taking on the unpardonable sin, I get from the late Dr. John Gerstner, the substance of it. And I've heard Dr. Gerstner say, I've never seen anyone commit this sin, and I hope that I never do. I agree with Dr. Gerstner. I've never seen anyone commit this sin, and I hope that I never do. Don't misunderstand the sin. It's a single sin. It's not a sin which is carried out over a period of time. That is a sin like refusing to repent and dying in that condition. That's not the unpardonable sin. Any time down the road, a person may repent of sin until they pass from this life. The unpardonable sin is a single sin. It is a visible sin. It is a sin committed in the bosom of the visible church. It is a sin in which an individual blasphemes the Spirit. That is, calls the work of the Spirit in the bosom of the visible church where Jesus Christ is operative. He or she calls the work of the Spirit in the bosom of the visible church the work of the devil and walks away from the church, committing this sin. That's the unpardonable sin. As I say, I've never seen it, and I hope I never do. Praise God that every other sin committed by any individual is forgivable. Thanks for listening.